Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Hello, and welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. I'm here today with my co-host, Daniel.
Hello, Jill.
And we're very excited today to welcome a lady who has helped me get my business to where it is today. Without her, I would not have known a thing about sales or marketing or running my own small business. And now she's also a fabulous book coach. So welcome to Vicky Fraser.
Hello, thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
It's so exciting to have you as our first official guest on our podcast.
I'm totally honoured by that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit strange because me and Jill are normally used to just doing ramblings by ourselves and laughing at our own jokes.
I'm very easily pleased. I don't know if that helps or not.
That helps a lot. So, Vicky, you have helped me take my business from zero to where it is now. So I'm so chuffed to have you on. It's quite fitting that it should be you. That's our first official guest. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit and explain how you got here and how you ran away with the circus?
So, yeah, I'm Vicky Fraser, and I founded Moxie Books, and I teach business owners how to write and self-publish their own wonderful books. And I've been doing that for, I guess, 5 or 6 years now, which is because how it happened was I had a variety of exciting jobs, realised I was unemployable, left the final job before I got fired, had a bit of a nervous breakdown, and then became a freelance copywriter. I realised I didn't know anything about sales or copywriting or anything, so I learned how to do it, and that was what I did. And it wasn't until one of my earlier clients asked me to write a book for her business that I was like, I have literally no idea how to do that. I'm gonna do it and learn. So I did, and I've still got that first book up on that shelf behind me that you can see behind me. And that was kind of the start of it. I really enjoyed this process. I really enjoyed the process of getting like really deep into writing something a bit meatier, and that wasn't just all books for small business owners, I think, should be a sales tool as well. That's something that I should do. But it was nice to get my teeth into something a bit meatier. And so after that, I was like, oh, I love doing this. So I'm going to do more of this. And I wrote my first book not long after that. And then I wrote my second book. So I've written loads of books for other people. I've only written 2 books for myself so far. So, yeah, so that's how I got into it. And as for the circus thing, many, many, many years ago, I think 17 years ago now, one of my colleagues was like, oh, there's pole dancing classes. Do you fancy having a go? And I thought, yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll go and have a go. She went to one class and I never stopped. And somewhere along the way, I found trapeze and kind of rope and, you know, all of the kind of circusy stuff, hoop and all that kind of thing. And so I've been doing that pole for 16 or 17 years and circusy stuff for 6 or 7 years now.
Wow, cool. So why do you think all business owners should write a book?
Oh, well, the most important reason is I don't think all business owners should write a book. I think that if you really want to write a book, you shouldn't. If you don't really want to write a book, then you shouldn't, because you either won't finish it or your book will just be crap. But if you want to, if you've got a message that you want to put out there and that you know will help people, and you would like to help more people than you can possibly do one-on-one, or, you know, with selling courses and things, or with, you know, putting, you know, there's only so many people that you can help with courses, products, and with your one-on-one stuff. So if you think that you've got an important message that you want to put out there that could help other people, then a book is a fantastic way to do that, because you can reach basically everybody who can read, which is a wonderful thing. So there's that reason. And then there's a whole bunch of other reasons as well. You know, it'll elevate you to, well, it won't elevate you. What it will do is, if you're really great at what you do, it will cement that expertise, and it will help you to elevate yourself to the level at which you should be at. If you want to be at the top of the tree in your industry, or in your specific niche of your industry, a book is a fantastic way to build that credibility and build relationships as well. Relationship building, massive relationship building tool. Because if you think about where you read books, I read books in bed, in the bath. Some people read books on the toilet. You don't get much more intimate than that. And so it will kind of build that relationship with people. It will help them get to know who you are and what you do without you having to go through all of the kind of face-to-face meetings. And it shortcuts that expectation setting relationship building stage, so that by the time people have read their book, if they like you, they'll know exactly how you work, they'll know what to expect, and there won't be any of that kind of time-wasting, tire-kicking nonsense.
I'm a really big book listener, which sounds strange, but audiobooks and podcasts. So have you had an experience with that? Obviously, I know you have with podcasts, but what about audiobooks?
Yeah, so audiobooks are wonderful. And speaking as someone who has not yet turned either of her books into an audiobook, you absolutely should do that. It's on my list. I'm just struggling to get like sound and stuff right, so it's a bit echoey. But yeah, absolutely, you should. And if you are writing your own book as a business owner, I strongly recommend that you narrate your own audiobook. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, voice actors are very expensive. So if you don't have the budget for it, it's just going to be out of your reach. And second of all, and more importantly, is that people actually get your voice in their ear. And that's incredibly strong relationship builder, again, because I don't know about you, but when I read a book, I kind of read it in, like, if I was reading Jill's book, I would totally read it in a Durham accent. And that's how I would read it, because that's how I know that you sound. So if somebody can kind of put a voice to the face to the words, it gives you that more of a connection with people. And it does, you know, being right in your ear, it does build a connection. So yeah, absolutely. Audiobooks are a great thing. I'm actually writing my first audiobook at the moment because Audible got in touch with me and asked me to do an original for them. So I'm writing an audiobook for Audible. And as I write this, I'm like, I really ought to be working on it right now. And I'm just not.
Vicky, you've just mentioned there the procrastination demon. I know from a personal experience how hard it is to write a book and to actually stay focused on one thing. What are your top tips for overcoming that whole in a shithead dickhead thing?
Procrastination is resistance, I think, and it usually comes about when you are worried about doing something, or you're afraid of doing something, or if it's really important to you as well. The things that are most important to me are sometimes the things I find hardest to start. It's a weird thing. I think it's because we're like, oh, it has to be perfect. And it's like, well, it's not going to be perfect ever. And it's certainly not going to be perfect the first time you put words on paper. So there's a few things that you can do to remember to help you kind of get over procrastination. And the first thing is that sometimes you're just tired, you know? And I think everybody knows the difference between resistance and genuine tiredness. Like yesterday, I was absolutely knackered and I just sat here and faffed, and what I should have done was go and read a book or done something else. But that's different from those times when I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to start, but I'm actually going to go and like tidy up my bookshelves instead. And that's different. There's a difference between being genuinely tired. So the first thing I would say is, and you'll be really good at helping people to do this and showing people how to do this, is know your body, know your mind and body, and whether you are genuinely too knackered to sit down and write and do the work, because that's really important. And trying to force yourself is utterly pointless, because it just gets you stressed and more tired, and it's a waste of time. So you may as well go read a book or have sleep. If that's out of the way, if you know that you're actually just like being a lazy git or being resisting doing the work, there's a few things you can do. First of all, the magical powers of just getting started. Literally set yourself a timer for 5 minutes. Be like, I'm just going to do 5 minutes. And this applies to everything. I did this with my raised beds the other day. My onions were getting choked by bindweed. And I was like, it's been bothering me for 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. The weeds are just going to kill all my hard work. I walked past on Saturday morning, not intending to do it. I was like, I'm just going to do 5 minutes. I'm just going to do one row. Half an hour later, I'd done the whole bed. And that's the magical powers of getting started. It's like, you just literally, the most difficult thing is to get started. If you think about how physics works, the force that you need to get something moving from inertia to actually moving is enormous. But once you've got it moving, it'll keep going. And that applies to our brains as well and the way that we work. So yeah, that's the first thing, just get started. Tell yourself just 5 minutes. Set yourself a reward. You know, if you really like biscuits, you're not allowed to go and get a biscuit until you've done an hour's writing. Do eat the bag of hair first. people say eat the frog, but that really upsets me because I'm vegetarian. So it's like, if you have to do something really gross or really that you don't want to do that thing first. Just get it out of the way, get it done, and then it's done. Get accountability, get people to help you. Some people can set fake deadlines. That does not work for me because I don't believe myself. I'm like, I know that's not a real deadline. I'm not going to do that. So Joe helps me out with that. And he's like, right, I want you to email that draft of that chapter to me before 5 p.m. today. And, you know, on pain of, I don't know, mocking on Facebook or something. So, but if he holds me accountable, that's a way that I can then kind of get my thing done and send it to him. John, a friend of ours from the writing group, he had a great piece of advice, which was, if you can't get started writing on something, sometimes it's that you don't know where to start. So he writes about not being able to write about the thing, which sounds very meta, but that kind of gets you writing about it by stealth, because you're like, oh, I need to write about like windows today, and I don't really know what to say, and I don't really know where to start, and I think I'm struggling because, you know, I don't know enough about the structure of glass. And actually, did you know that glass is really interesting, because it's kind of like it's not really a solid and it's not really a liquid, it's in a flow state, and then suddenly you're talking about like the nature of windows.
It's very similar to what we do in health and fitness as well, isn't it, Dan? Just get started. That's the main thing, isn't it, to overcome resistance. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jill's been telling me to read Atomic Habits for the last year, and I've eventually read it. And the first message you said there really resonated, because he talks about just get started, but he has an example of the guy who goes to the gym, but he's only allowed to go 5 minutes the first time, and then he's only allowed to go 10 minutes and then 15 minutes. It's just the act of turning up, just create the habit, and then the results will eventually come in the end, won't they?
Yeah, and letting go of the results as well is another really important point. It's like, let go of the results. You're not entitled to any of the results at all. You're not entitled to any of that. All you're entitled to is the actions that you take. And like you say, the results will then come on their own. If you go to the gym every day, you know, 5 days a week for a year, you're going to see results. You can't help but see results.
This is true. So we've just touched on Atomic Habits, which is one of my favorite books, and Life Changer book. Have you got any other examples other than that one that have changed your life?
Yeah, obviously Atomic Habits is one of my favorite books. It really, really is. Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott is a wonderful book on writing. It's really fantastic. She is such a wonderful, beautiful writer. And she's got loads of really funny advice as well on writing and life. And I think a lot of books are quite, I don't know, I don't think they're 100% honest, because they try, I think a lot of people, when they write books, and this is a big problem actually, it's something I've tried to stop and renew, is they will start to write a book and they'll be like, I'm writing a book, therefore this is the type of person that I want to be. You know, I don't want people to, I need to be this particular type of person. I need to be professional, whatever the hell that means, and all the rest of it. And so they're like, oh yes, you need to do this worthy thing and that worthy thing, and you need to be very lofty about it and blah, blah, blah. And Anne Lamott's just like, you know what? There's some really great writers out there. And when I see an example of their writing, I actually want to punch them repeatedly in the face. And it's just like, that is how it, and that's true. That's the truth. It's how we feel. It's like I saw somebody the other day being like, oh, I've just started this 30-day writing challenge on LinkedIn. And I was like, why are you not doing my fucking writing challenge? But yeah, I was like, that very first visceral reaction was like, huh, why are you not doing my thing? And it's ridiculous. It's deeply ridiculous. It's totally unworthy of me and the other person. But it's just that that's the kind of reaction that we have. And it's like, you're allowed to have that reaction as long as you don't then go onto LinkedIn and be like, why are you not doing my thing? And whine about it. It's like, oh, why is my writing so crap? Why has that person got a book deal and I haven't? Why is that person? And it's just a human reaction to stuff. And so I love Anne Lamott's writing, because she talks about that stuff and you read it and you're like, yeah, that's how I feel. And oh, I'm not just like this really awful human being. It's like, it's just normal. It's like, as long as you don't say most of it out loud, it's fine.
That's where most people start to fall over, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do you go about looking after your health, your own health, and how is that linked to your own business as well, the health of your business?
Oh yeah, like on a purely practical level, I spend a lot of time sitting in a chair. I'm a writer. And so if I didn't do exercise, then I would literally be fused into this position. That's not really very good, I don't think, for long-term health and mobility. But the other reason that is really, really important for me to stay active is that I get ideas. I get more ideas when I'm active. It's like I get my best ideas sometimes when I am, not when I'm doing kind of deep practice on the trapeze or whatever, because sometimes, you know, if you're not fully concentrated on that, then you might die, and that's not good. But that in itself, it's like a meditation. It's like, and you'll know this from teaching, when you get into really deep practice and you're really concentrating on what you're doing, it's like a form of meditation. So I am not the type of person who can clear my brain of stuff. I just can't do it. My mind is very busy and I don't really have any interest in spending years learning how to do that. So my form of meditation is really concentrating really hard on training a performance piece or on training a new move that I might want to get that really requires 100% of my concentration. And that's really important, because it means that while I'm doing that, I can't think about my business. I can't worry about my business. I can't worry about money. I can't worry about, am I going to make sales? I can't worry about, have I pissed this client off? Do you know what I mean? And it's really important to get space away from that, because if you're constantly churning over worries, that's all you think about. You become what you think about. And I don't want to be like a permanent stress head who is unpleasant to be around and who is focused on the problems instead of looking for a solution for them. And so for me, making sure that I'm fit and healthy and doing that deep practice in something that isn't writing or isn't business, is it gives me that space away from the business, which is crucial. It's really, really important.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mentioned that when you do the trapeze artist stuff, there's a good book I've recently got called Stealing Fire by Stephen Kotler, and he talks about flow states, and it's about how people who do extreme sports and really dangerous situations, it clarifies the mind so much that you do forget about all the everyday problems. So you get soldiers who go into war situations, people who do combat sports like boxing and things like that. If they take their mind off that singular focus for a second, the life could be on the line. But it's actually a form of intense meditation, because all of the stuff they worry about 24 hours of the day, that's gone. So although it's still pretty stressful on the body, it's opening other areas of the brain and the body which often get neglected.
That's really interesting, because I didn't know that it was actually considered like a form of meditation. That's just like a connection that I made, because I just thought, well, I can't do the like brain clearing stuff. So for me, this is like the narrow focus. So that's really, really interesting. But I don't think it just applies to the extreme sports either, because I think it is. We've just read Grit by Angela Duckworth, and she spends a chapter talking about deep practice of flow states and things. And musicians get it as well, and writers can find it as well. It takes a bit more work, I think, because, like you say, when you're in a dangerous situation, a life or death situation, it like immediately snaps your mind to that focus. And I think you have to work for it a little bit more with something like music or writing or art, because you're not in danger, you have to kind of work for that flow state. But it's possible to get it in pretty much anything, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mention that, because we've all heard like our favourite musicians when they say, they just, one of the best songs ever written, they say, oh, well, we wrote it in like 2 minutes. It's because they're in that flow state. They might spend days and weeks trying to write lyrics and they come up with nothing. But then all of a sudden they write five songs in 5 minutes and it ends up being like the number one bestseller. So it's just trying to find what triggers your flow state. It's really interesting, actually.
It is, yeah. And it's again, that's one of the things. I really like people to talk more about this, because it's a problem in kind of pole and trapeze, and it's a problem in writing, is that we put out our polished, finished thing, and it's, you know, it might be like a beautiful move or a performance or a beautiful piece of writing. And I think beginners look at that kind of thing and they're like, oh, I can't do that. And it's like, well, no, of course you can't do that now, because you haven't seen the 15 years of practice that's gone underneath it, that has gone to produce that flow state, that beautiful piece of writing. That I hesitate to talk about this sometimes, because people are like, oh, my shitty first draft is really shitty, and can you show me your shitty first draft? And I will show people my shitty first draft, and it's not that shitty. But that's because I write for like 5 or 6 hours a day, every day, like every day. And so, of course, my shitty first draft is a little bit less shitty than somebody who never writes. And so I worry a little bit that people are like, oh, you know, I'm never going to be able to do that. And it's like, well, you're not really aiming for that. It's like, I put a lot more time into editing because, you know, my shitty first draft is still not as good as I want it to be. But other people's shitty first draft might be a bit of a messier state than mine. That doesn't mean that it's not eventually going to be an amazing thing. So I think we all need to share more of the kind of shitty first draft stuff, so that we can see a bit of the iceberg that's underneath.
Like my shitty first draft.
you probably looked at your shit, because I remember how hesitant you were about sending me your shitty first draft, and I was like, it's really good. I mean, it's a shitty first draft, but it's really good. You can see how it's going to become a really great book.
I'll let Dan read it.
Done is better than perfect, Jill.
Yes. Yeah. That's Dan's favourite quote. Talking of quotes, we love a good quote, Vicky. Have you got a favourite quote? I know you have got one. Very close to you.
Oh, yes, that one. I have my own arm now. I have a tattoo. This is actually my quote, but I stole it and then bastardised it from Terry Pratchett. He says that the thing on my arm says right ripples in the world. And the reason it says that is because in one of Terry Pratchett's books, I can't remember off the top of my head, I think it's from Mort, he says, nobody is ever really dead until the ripples they create in the world have died away. And I love that, because writing a book is creating a massive ripple in the world, and it's there forever. And so if you write a book that people want to read and that people get something out of, that's going to be there, you know, until the sun explodes. And, you know, maybe beyond that, if we make it off this planet and somewhere else, you know? So yeah, writing a book is a really, really cool thing. And that is, I think, one of my favorite quotes.
That's a good one. I like that quote. Really good. I like Terry Pratchett as well, though. Excellent. Have you got anything else?
I think just in terms of, it was funny what you mentioned just towards the end there about when you create a book in terms of business, because we talk about business as well. It's really interesting that when people get the mind shift, when they stop trading time for money, and you can create something that can sell 24/7 and can sell itself for the rest of time, then in terms of kind of hard practical business, it's a really good opportunity to create income without having to actually physically be there, isn't it? You put all the work in up front to learn how to write a book and to write and to publish, but then once it's out there, then you can promote it and it can be a source of income for eternity, essentially, can't it?
Yeah, it can. And that's a really good point, because I get frustrated when I hear people say, oh, I don't have time to do this, that and the other. And I know that they're on that hamster wheel of just kind of running. And I've been there. We've all been there. It's just like just, you know, working and working and working to just try and pay the bills. And there's a point that you have to break from that into something else. And that breakthrough point is really scary, because it means that you're going to have to either put your prices up way beyond where you're comfortable doing so, or you're going to have to take a bit of a hit in income while you give yourself space to take the next step. Because I don't think anybody starts a business wanting to own a crappy job, which is what a lot of people have. And it's just like that treadmill of nonsense, just scraping by to pay the bills. No thanks. I did that for a few years and it was awful. And it wasn't until like I kind of made that breakthrough. It's like, right, I'm going to have to do something to change this now and give myself that space to do something else. And what I did was write my first book. And the great thing about that is that you never get, and I want to manage some expectations here, because you're never going to make, you're probably never going to make £1 million off your book. That's not the idea behind it for business owners. But the idea is that you put your book out there and your book sells your other services. So people will read your book and they will then, you know, they'll pay you for your book, hopefully. And that'll cover some of the marketing costs of the book and claw some of that stuff back. But what that will then do is like, you'd be like, oh, I really want to write a book. Who can help me do that? Vicky can help me do that. When Jill's finished her book, it's like, oh, I'd love to, you know, get really strong and, you know, stop feeling achy when I wake up in the morning, that kind of thing. Who can help me do that? Jill can help me do that because I've just read her book. And so it'll bring in those leads from your book. You don't have to do all of that heavy lifting. You still have to market the book, but the book will market you and your services. And that's the real power behind it. And that's where you free up some of that marketing time to work on other things in your business, to work on your own self-development, to create new products and services, to make the stuff you've got even better and write another book. You know, there's always more than one book. And by the way, a hidden benefit that I totally forgot to mention, I need to mention this, of writing a book that people don't realize is the massive confidence boost that it will bring once you hold your book in your hand. And like, I literally don't know anybody who has written a book who has been like, oh, I'm still a little bit scared of what I do and how I do it. It's like, oh no, I've written a book. You know, that's a really cool thing to do. It's a really hard thing to do. So if you can manage to write your book and get it out there, then even that in itself is pretty awesome.
I imagine it's quite humbling as well, because then you'll realize all of the great books that you've read, how talented and how much work the authors must have put in, and how frustrating it is, because I know how frustrated Jill's been trying to write her book. So she probably appreciates how much work actually goes in to all the amazing books that are out there as well.
Yeah, it really does make you appreciate that. And it gives you, like someone, one of my friends the other day was like, oh, I can't find a free version of this book that I'd recommend. And I was like, pay for the fucking book. And I was just like, I properly got the rage. I was just like, don't pirate books. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot of work goes into that. Like thousands of hours in some cases, definitely hundreds of hours. And it's, yeah. So it really does give you an appreciation of just how much hard work is.
I'm constantly surprised that there's any books written in the world.
Yeah, like anything else. Once you've done the first one, it's like, oh, I can do it now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a podcast and we never thought we'd do a podcast. Yeah. And here we are. Now, Vicky, I love, because I've got your book here and I am on page 92 of this book, and you actually gave away one of my secrets of what I get up to when I'm out and about. So if that's not a good thing to get Vicky's book. But what I love about your book, which is called How the Hell Do You Write a Book, is the way you sell it. Like, from your website and all the freebie bits that you give us away as well. It's like an experience, isn't it? Not just a book that you're trying to sell.
Yeah, definitely. And you can do that with anything, by the way, not just a book. But yeah, I mean, I sell my book on Amazon and, you know, on other places as well, because I want as many people to get it and read it as possible. But I also sell it from my website, because then I get to have an actual conversation with people. You don't get, unless people kind of contact you afterwards from Amazon, you know, after they bought your book on Amazon, you haven't really got any contact with them. But if I send it through my website, then I get that email address. I send them a follow-up sequence of emails and all that kind of thing. But I also send them a little book plate and some custom-made bookmarks. And if I've got any in the office, I'll send them a bar of chocolate. I don't always have chocolate. I can't guarantee you'll get chocolate. But yeah, and a handwritten postcard and a little letter that goes with it as well. So yeah, it is. It's a whole experience. It's not just a book. And I do that with everything. I try and do that with everything. I try and make it a little bit more special. I don't always send people a physical thing through the post if they've bought like an electronic download, but I always try and make it a little bit special. It does make a really big difference. So you can do that with anything.
Over deliver.
Over-deliver, yeah, over-deliver. It doesn't have to cost much either. It's like, you can get postcards printed for like, I don't know, 20p a postcard or something, just get loads of them, just handwrite a quick little note. Just little touches like that will make a huge difference to people.
Yeah, there's a big business lesson there in that little conversation.
Yeah, one of my favourite business inspirations is called Gary Vaynerchuk. He's got a few books and he, I don't know if you like it or not, but his first book was called The Thank You Economy, and he talks about the same principles you talk about. And when he sold anything, he talks about being an inch wide but mile deep. So he might have sold millions of products, but he treats each one as if like that's the only customer that ever bought his product. And through those principles, he's obviously built a big business. He's had help along the way, but his principles are in the right place, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, he talks about it's a similar concept.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, treat every customer like they're special because they are. They really are. You know, they're not always right. There's a difference between that and the customer is always right, because quite often they're really very wrong. You treat them all like they're special, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So Vicky, thank you for coming to talk to us today. Where can our listeners find out more about you and get your book and your podcast as well? We haven't mentioned your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Me and my husband just do a really rambly podcast, and we interview people sometimes for our podcast as well. So moxiebooks.co.uk is my website. And if you put /podcast, you'll get to the podcast. If you put /buy the book, you get to buy the book. If you put /power hour, you get to come and write with us live writing sessions 3 times a week, which are really cool, aren't they, Jill?
Yes, I've been doing them. I've got so much done. I feel like I'm on a mission of smugness for the rest of the day. I even did one this morning and it wasn't even one of our sessions.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad. Yay. No, they're really fun because I get loads done in them as well. I was like, why did I not start doing this years ago? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, Dan, you'll have to join us. Power hours.
You will feel smug for the rest of the day. That's the benefit that I'm putting on the sales page. Feel smug for the rest of the day.
So, fabulous. Well, thank you very much, Vicky. Honestly, like, I can't thank you enough for everything that you've taught me over the years. And it's been great talking to you. So listeners, please do check out Vicky's, all of her things. that's some good, by the way, all these slashes. I can't remember the name.
It's probably a very technical term.
There is a very technical term, but it's really good that you've got all that. Mine normally have long names afterwards.
Ooh, yeah, URLs.
Customized domain names, that's what it is.
Really? Yeah, I used to have a lot of stupid domain names that just were totally different. Yeah, it was, and I've simplified them all. It's much better.
That's a good business practice. Streamline your domains as well. So thank you for that, Vicky. It's been awesome talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jill and Dan. It's been fab.